Good morning. Merry Christmas.
Oh, man. Pastor Jeff lost some height and some hair. It's okay. It's close enough. Okay. Christmas is really about God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. In the Sunday school this morning, we saw a video that didn't show the idyllic little stone cave that was all sanitized. And it was a little more realistic. But it was really what probably happened, the actual story. Now, Joy and I, one of our favorite movies is one Jeff spoke about last week. It was called The Miracle on 34th Street. And I like both versions, the original and the newer one. But I was in Walmart the other day and I found the original DVD. We had a VHS and we don't have that VHS player in our living room. So I bought that DVD and we got a chance to watch it again last night. The basic plot of the movie is a man, Kris Kringle, who genuinely believes that he is Santa Claus. Now, the rest of the movie that unfolds is evidence that kind of supports the claim, and it shows the various reactions of people to that claim. The plot represents a part of the mystery and charm of the movie. The idea of meeting not just a department store Santa, some well-meaning man with a pillow under his belt and a fake beard, but the real Santa Claus. As the story unfolds, there springs forth a childish hope that perhaps Kris Kringle in the movie is really Santa Claus. And it opens up some incredible and amazing opportunities. Could he really be? What if he is? And if he is who he says he is, how sad to not be recognized. How tragic to be thought a fraud. Those same kind of questions were asked about the miracle of Christmas, the miracle of the manger. Just exactly who is this baby laying in the manger? Could he really be who everyone says he is? Is it possible that he is really who he claims to be? And if he is, what about that? See, John's gospel describes for us in beautiful and poetic imagery this miracle of the manger. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because He was before me.' And from His fullness we have received all grace, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. The big question to be decided in that movie was also the question that we consider about the birth and life of Jesus Christ. It's really a question of identity. Who is he really? Who exactly is this child that we find in the manger in Bethlehem? Was this truly a miracle in a manger? In the rush of last-minute Christmas shopping, a woman bought a box of 50 identical greeting cards. Without bothering to read the verse, she hurriedly signed and addressed the cards, all but one of them. And several days after they'd all been mailed, she came across the one card she hadn't sent. And she looked at the message that she'd sent out to everybody, and she was horrified to read, "This card is just to say, a little gift is on the way." The prophet Isaiah spoke of a little gift in Isaiah 7. The sign of Emmanuel. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Now there's a song that I love. It's called Handel's Messiah. It's a powerful scriptural presentation of the coming of the Lord that George Frederick Handel wrote back in 1741. He took 24 days to write it. I love the words of the scripture from Isaiah 9 that he placed to music. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now the question is, could he be who he claims to be? That's a pretty astonishing claim. Consider for a moment this miracle of the manger and the astonishing claims made regarding this child. Into the humblest of circumstances, Jesus is born. His mother is a very plain, ordinary teenage girl named Mary. His birthplace is a stable, a small barn in an obscure little village called Bethlehem. And yet he came with astonishing claims, claims that centered on his identity. He claimed to be sent from God, the Son of God, and even one with God. This angel announced concerning the child in the manger, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." Now that's a pretty remarkable claim in itself, wouldn't you say? John says that he is God, that all things were made through him, and that he is the light of the world, that he alone gives true life, that when we see him, we see the very glory of God the Father. As an adult, Jesus claimed to be the bread of heaven, the living water, which alone can justify our deepest hungers. Jesus claimed the authority to forgive our sins, and he claimed to have come from God and to be returning to God. Jesus claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father, the resurrection, the one who judges all people, and the only path to eternal life. And Jesus claimed all authority in heaven and earth. What do you make of such radical claims? Some people disregard them altogether. And there are those who are very respectful of Jesus, but they don't take his astonishing claims seriously. The religion of Islam teaches that Jesus was a prophet and a teacher. The Hindus teach that he is just one of many ways to find God. There are a lot of people that admire Jesus, but from a distance. When it comes right down to it, just like Kris Kringle in the movie, some believe that he was a nice man with a beard. Well, C.S. Lewis points out that Jesus didn't leave us the option of just respecting him as a good and noble teacher. His own claims leave no room for that position, even though in our secular society it's very popular. We really have only three options concerning Jesus and what to make of these astonishing claims. Either he was who he claimed to be, the Lord of all, or he made those claims knowing they were false, which would have made him a liar. Or third, he made the claims because he believed them to be true, but they were not, in which case he'd be a lunatic. You see, Jesus can't be just a nice man with a beard. Some reject Jesus. As John says in verse 11, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. They heard his teachings. They saw his miracles. They witnessed his death and resurrection, and yet they rejected him. What if he is who he claimed to be? That has some very staggering consequences for all of us. Do you believe? Do you believe that he is really who he claimed to be? Think for a moment about the incredible consequences. What if there is that awesome someone who knows your name, who knows when you're sleeping, knows when you're awake, and yes, he knows if you've been naughty or nice, and yet he loves you. He longs for you and wants you to know that he loves you. What if this child in Bethlehem really is the miracle of the manger? What if Jesus really is Emmanuel, God with us? If he is, then you and I all have a decision to make. It's a matter of eternal significance and consequences for each one of us. What we decide about this child born in Bethlehem will determine our eternal destiny and our earthly directions. You see, I don't think we can accept his claims without also recognizing that he staked his claims in our lives. And he staked his life on us. The question then comes, do you believe? And that is definitely a choice with eternal consequence. We must all consider that question and answer it for ourselves. No one can decide that for us. When it comes to the miracle of the manger, is Christ who he claimed to be? Do you believe it? In the movie Miracle on 34th Street, the final courtroom scene in the original represented a moment of decision. The judge needed some authority to say that Kris Kringle was Santa Claus. And that authority in the first movie was the post office. And all of a sudden they brought in tons of letters addressed to Santa Claus, dumped them on the judge's desk. In the second movie, it was about a dollar bill that said, "In God we trust." We'd never seen God, and yet it still said, "In God we trust," on the dollar. There was an awesome reversal, a dramatic change after the evidence was presented. And I think that's the same kind of dramatic change in our roles once we truly believe. You see, when we come before Christ, we don't sit in judgment of him. He will be the one coming as the King of Kings and judging us. The miracle of the manger, the real miracle was that God became flesh and dwelt among us. As the scripture says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is going to be the judge of all. We won't determine his fate. It's Jesus Christ that's going to determine our final destiny. Scripture records, and I think I'm off. 2 Corinthians. No, I'm right. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. The miracle of the manger, God became flesh and lived among us, was so not so much that he could send us to eternal punishment, but that he could set us free from the bondage of sin and death. God became a man so that we could become children of God. John writes in the gospel, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Is it possible that he was exactly who he claimed to be? Well, I believe. Do you? When we look at the birth, life, death, and soon to be the return of Jesus, when we look at the journey from the manger in Bethlehem through his upbringing in Nazareth and his ministry in Palestine, from his death on the cross and from his resurrection from the dead. And as we leave here this Sunday morning before Christmas, as we look to his soon return, I want us to think about his journey from the cradle to the cross, to the crown. Unto us a child is born, the Lord of all creation. But when he returns, he will be a king of kings, tremendous majesty and glory. There was an illustration about a Church of God missionary and a pastor. His name is Walter Loster. And he was telling of a personal experience. He said, "I was sitting in my office on the first Sunday of December. And outside the courtyard in our church, the men of the church were in the process of building a stage for the live nativity scene. Since my door was open, I heard two little kids talking about what was going on. 'What are they doing?' one of them said, and the other one said, 'Well, they're building the live fertility scene.'" Well, in essence, that may be true. But I want us to look for just a minute at this virgin birth and think about this true miracle of the manger. We've been going through a series Sunday morning about miracles of Jesus. But this is the miracle of Jesus, the true miracle. In June of 2010, CNN celebrated 25 years of broadcasting for Larry King. And they did a special week-long series television program showing his 25 best interviews. But on one of the shows that week, Donald Trump changed roles. He interviewed Larry King about his 25-year run. The show was called Donald Interviews the King. Close to the end of that show, though, there was quite an exchange. Donald Trump asked Larry King would like to interview that he never had a chance to do? And what questions would he ask? Larry King answered, "I would like to interview Jesus Christ. And I would ask him if he really believes he was born of a virgin." Could you imagine Larry King sitting in front of Jesus, our Savior, asking him questions about the Bible, salvation, heaven, hell, sin? You see, when Jesus was on this earth, he ran into a bunch of religious wise men that constantly questioned him, asking him double-ended questions, trying to trick him up. And you know, he never gave a wrong answer. There was never really something they could use against him, but they twisted it, and it worked. Jesus had the right answer, and it wasn't deep theology. It was a simple truth spoken from the Creator of the world. I don't think Larry King really realized what he was wishing for, because one of these days, he's going to have his chance. He's going to stand before King of Kings. And unfortunately, if he doesn't believe and accept Jesus as his Savior, it's going to be too late. And like Bill O'Reilly said, it'll be welcome to the no-spin zone. You cannot spin the message of Jesus Christ. Many have tried, but the truth is right there in that Bible, and you can't spin that. I kind of feel sorry for Larry King. I mean, he's interviewed a lot of truly intelligent people, and he's gained a lot of knowledge, but I don't think, listening to that question, he's gained the knowledge that could save his soul. He was basically doubting the Bible. And if you doubt the virgin birth, if you doubt the miracle of the manger, you doubt the whole Bible. Well, I know one thing, though. There's a powerful God that could change his mind and change his heart. Do you remember this verse from Matthew? Matthew 16:26. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul?" A miracle occurred in that manger. And that miracle was the birth of Jesus Christ, who became flesh and dwelled among us, who lived under the same circumstances that we have to live under every day, who was tempted by sin and did not sin, who became the sinless sacrificial Lamb of God, that he might pay the price for every one of us. It started at that birth, but the story's not over. We all have to make decisions about who he was, if what he said was true, and those decisions will have eternal consequences for all of us. I'd like you to pray a prayer with me. Dear God, I do believe the miracle of the manger, that this child born in Bethlehem is exactly who he claimed to be. He is God in the flesh, the Lord of life and the Savior of the world. And right now, Lord Jesus, I receive you. I receive you into my heart and my life. I've known about you, but I want you to be real and personal. I want to follow. You and your experience, this miracle of Christmas, I want in my own life. Forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and let me know the joy of walking with you throughout my journey on earth and spending forever with you in heaven. Use me to extend your kingdom here on earth until that day when you return or you call me home. In Jesus' name I pray. There are people, this is the world, who are praying a prayer like that for the first time, who are totally believing that there was a tremendous miracle that occurred in that manger. And that miracle was Jesus Christ. I pray that all of you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior unconditionally. I pray that you follow him day by day. I pray that when you stumble and fall, you allow him to pick you back up. And I pray that someday, when he calls us all home, that we'll get to stand in front of him and hear the most precious words we could hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. That's my prayer. That's my Christmas prayer for all of us. Joy and I have spent just a little over a year now at Lolo Community Church. And it's been absolutely one of the best years of our life, health issues excluded. But it's been a wonderful year. We were here for Christmas last year, and it was a wonderful celebration. And for us, Christmas every year is a celebration because we know what it really means. We know and believe in the miracle of the manger. So we'd like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas, not only from us, but all the staff here at Lolo Community Church. And don't forget, tomorrow night will be a joyous night of praise and celebration. So if we could have the praise team come back up, please.